You're absolutely right about that. I will mention that there are some YouTube videos about clock and watch repair. And if it interests you at all, just imagine yourself in the shoes of the watchmaker when he's doing that. I have sat for hours, and because my sight's not as good as it used to be, I always wore a loupe, which is a magnifier, about 10 power magnifier. But you get close, and you're in a different world. The world that is regular size is you're no longer there in your mind, and with the magnification, that helps a lot to put you almost in a trance, and you get to where you can feel your way through. Not that you could close your eyes, but you're at a very, everything's very small. So you have to be terribly careful about your movements. Everything has to be in a very small world. But I've enjoyed watching those videos where someone is taking either a watch that nobody else would work on. One of the most interesting ones was a fellow who accepted a Rolex that Rolex would not repair. They wouldn't touch it. And it was just, you know, he got a clear understanding with his customer that he was not real sure that he would be successful. This Rolex had not been well taken care of. But he did everything right. He polished the plates where the pinions, which are the in a mechanical watch, there are gears. The pinion is the part which fits between the two mechanical plates, and that's where all the friction takes place, you might say. That's where all the power from the mainspring transfers all the way through the watch right down to the part which takes a second and splits it up into many parts. You were talking about an Accutron earlier that uses a tuning fork. And it's several thousand beats per second to make a tone. You take the back off of an Accutron, put it up to your ear. If it's running, you can hear a tone. And some people with very good hearing can probably hear it without the back off, I suppose. But anyway, that was several thousand beats per second. And what it does is it slices a second into that many parts. So the accuracy becomes great. And it's a fascinating piece of gear to work on. Those days are past. I had my good time with them. And it kept me fed. KK4JBQ.
Hey, I would imagine that was the main thing. It kept you fed. Paid the bills. Watchmaking is something that I have never even attempted or repair. My little short fat fingers, they don't fit down in a watch real well. And that's another reason I don't like the surface mount stuff. That and my eyesight. My eyesight used to be real good, and when it was, I didn't have any problem. But now I'm having to use magnifiers and all this other stuff, and it is what it is, but I'm not as young as I once was, which is okay. I'm just glad to be here. if you take this pocket watch that belonged to my grandfather, have it, and look on the inside and watch all the springs and the gears and all that stuff. And I mean, it's absolutely beautiful on the inside. And, you know, it makes you wonder how all these people made the toys and stuff that were, you know, a long time ago. The automatons and things that yeah, you just pulled a lever and turned a wheel and it did its thing, and it all the gears and the springs and oh gosh, the levers and all that stuff on the inside. How in the world they figure all that stuff out?
KK4JBQ. It's interesting that you bring that up. The mechanism inside of toys is called a watchwork. And to repair those, it's, you know, the parts are bigger, of course, but it's the very same type of thing. You store energy in the mainspring by winding it up, and then you release that energy through the gear train. And whatever the action is supposed to be, all that energy goes through the various gears and makes it move, makes it hop, makes it makes a noise, perhaps. There is even, I had a little train when I was a child, and it had a little pill, for lack of a better word to refer to it, a little pill that you put into the smokestack. And there was a thing that rubbed against that pill, and it was part of the clockwork mechanism. And it caused that little train to puff. You know, I had thought I probably was, 6 or 7 years old when I had that train. It one key wound it up. You set it on the track, put the little pill in, and that thing would go around the track puffing a little. I don't know what the pill was made of, to tell you the truth, but it made smoke in that little train, and I just went around in a circle. Had it for years, put it under the Christmas tree, and it went around. Oh, I guess it was about a 4.5-5 foot circle, just at the base of the tree, you know. And it made noise, and it puffed smoke, and it entertained a little child. KK4JBQ.
You'd be told it probably entertained some adult folks, too.
I did that. And I don't know what happened to that. I don't know what happened to the Lionel that I had. A lot of kids who grew up in the 50s had an electric train that ran on tracks. Today those things are, if one still has it in good order, even with the box, they're terribly expensive, you know. But back then we were just fascinated with things that moved like that. That was a lot of fun. My mama didn't like it because of the electricity. You could tell the ozone the electricity transferred through the track to the electric motor inside of the Lionel trains, and there was a lot of misalignment in the tracks. It was just part of the way they made them. And you would get a funny ozone smell. That might even recall to your nose what that smelled like, if you know what I'm talking about. And that just drove my mama crazy. She thought that thing's going to burst into flames any time now. Oh, gracious. You've helped me remember past Christmases, Gary. I thank you for that, too. And I better let you go. I've enjoyed it, but my voice can only get worse from here on in. KK4JBQ. Back to you, Gary.
I do remember those. I remember that smell. You started talking about that, and I could smell the train running around the room. I had one when I was younger. I got to thinking about some other old toys that, you probably had one too. They still sell, or used to sell, the Lincoln Logs, that you made log cabins and stuff out of. But one that was more fun than that was the Erector sets. And, they couldn't sell them today because they got too many small parts that a child could swallow or get hurt on and all of this. I didn't even think about that stuff when we were little. They give us a piece of metal that had holes in it and give us little screws and nuts to go on the backside of them, and we could build stuff out of it. But, I don't think they'd let them sell those things on the market like they did when we were small, Larry.
Maybe not. Although, what is it, those little... I'll think of it in a minute, but let's see. I had a neighbor friend. He was, until he got interested in girls, he was my best friend. And we did everything together. And he had Lincoln Logs. I'd never seen Lincoln Logs before. Donna had Lincoln Logs when she was a girl. And, never had an Erector set. Never did. I'd seen other kids who had them, but never played with them, just see them in passing. What my mama and dad were big on were Tinker Toys. Now, that was a put-it-together type of thing, too. Very coarse. Didn't really look like anything. They were... I don't know what those things were made of, but they had a peculiar smell. Some wood species do have a unique smell. And whatever Tinker Toys made out of, I have to tell you this. Once upon a time, my brother wanted a guitar. And I later learned how to play guitar and so I know what the wood species are that are what they call tone woods. Woods like spruce and walnut, rosewood. Those kind of things are what they call tone woods. Very good for musical instruments like guitars. But my brother's guitar smelled like a Tinker Toy. Honestly, smell like a Tinker Toy, and I just don't know what. If anybody's out there listening and you know what they used to make Tinker Toys out of, I'd really like to know. KK4JBQ.
Yeah, go ahead and come in. It's KI4DOS and the Blue Ridge 2-meter net.
KK4HXB. Larry, I think they made them out of cedar.
That might very well be. Now, cedar is an aromatic wood. That's what it's known for. Red cedar is used for, or was used once upon a time, to build cabinets that you stored off-season clothing in. Now, this is when houses weren't as tight as they are today, and where people weren't so particular that they kept all the bugs out of the house. So you'd hang clothes in a closet and it'd be eat up. I mean, especially if it was made of wool or any part of that was made of wool, it'd be just eaten away because of the moths that were getting there. Well, you put that clothing in a cedar cabinet or a cedar-lined closet and the bugs didn't like cedar. Yeah, it's an aromatic wood. But it has a particular smell. Red cedar does. It could have been white. Now, this guitar was white, a light wood, not like the red cedar that is very characteristic in its grain pattern. But anyhow, I haven't talked to my brother in, oh my goodness, 15 or 20 years, and this makes me think about him, and I appreciate that too. This has been a nice conversation. I needled my brother about his guitar smelling like a Tinker toy. There's a shellac or a varnish on the outside of the wood, but because it has to vibrate, being a tone wood, it has to be sympathetic to the tone that the strings on the guitar are generating, and it amplifies that without changing it much, you know. And if it changes at all, it makes it warmer or deeper bassed or something like that. Cedar doesn't have any of those qualities. But this thing smells like a Tinker toy. Yeah, golly. It's been so many years since I thought of that. KK4JBQ. Thank you, Earl.
Coass and Blue Ridge 2-meter net with KK4JBQ, Mr. Larry over there in Greer. Larry, I can see the Tinker toys now. I used to have those as well, the little round, kind of like wheels with holes drilled all around together. Old Gus built all kinds of crazy things with it. They were a lot more fun than these video games that the kids play today. Because you could get your hands on there. And I guess that the Tinker toys and the Erector sets and all of that are the precursors to the Lego sets that they have today.
That's what I was trying to think of, Legos. People didn't think about swallowing hazards or anything like that. My mama didn't like electricity now. She didn't like that ozone smell. But there was no concern about kids putting stuff in their mouth and getting choked on it. I guess it took a number of kids that did to make people to make people think that. While you were talking, I ran a little search on clock restoration, and there's one on YouTube, of course, very much like one I've worked on with one of my dad's clocks. Seth Thomas manufactured in 1863. Yes, that was shortly before the end of the Civil War. Yeah, that clock's been around a long time. Right there, and I guess, it's over an hour's worth of close-up. I may even look at that before I'm done tonight, just to refresh my memory. Yeah, every once in a while, it's kind of fun now, you know, that nobody's counting on it. You just look at things that you used to do, you know, and I don't know. I don't think there's probably any videos on YouTube about go-karts. We used to play with go-karts. We build them. We lived on a hill with about three-quarters of a mile. If we got to the top of the hill, you had lots of curves. And the power in a go-kart, the way we made them anyway, was your weight and the weight of the go-kart. and the angle of the road. Trouble is, with something like that, you had to carry the thing all the way back up, you know, all the way back to the top of the hill. Anyway, still a lot of fun. Yeah. Well, Gary and Larry and Earl, thank you all for being with me here tonight. It's been an enjoyable time. Gary, you have a good evening. Thank you for calling the net for us and bringing us together. And we'll do this again soon. KK4HABQ.
Sorry, KK4HXB, I'll be monitoring.
Thanks, Earl, for coming in there and giving us that tidbit of information. Do appreciate it. But Larry, you and Miss Donna have a great evening, what's left of it. Look forward to doing it again. And Larry, I want you to look at your calendar real quick. Guess who is the lucky one in the hot seat on Christmas and New Year's this year? It'll be yours truly, so I'm going to have some fun when it comes Christmas Day. But in the meantime, y'all take care, and we'll talk to you a little bit later. 73, my friend. Do we have any other check-ins or any other comments for the Blue Ridge 2-meter net? Call KI4DOS. We'll wrap it up this evening. I'll submit my net report here electronically, and then we'll close the net out. Folks, had a grand total of 55 tonight. Appreciate each and every one of you out there in Radio Land. Folks, y'all are the ones that make the net. Y'all come back again tomorrow night. Mr. Matt, WG4MC, will be calling, to the best of my knowledge. Give him a good dose of rider's cramp. This is KI4DOS, now securing the Blue Ridge 2-meter net. With our thanks for all those folks that checked in with us, we will now return the repeater to normal amateur use. 73, good night, God bless. This is KI4DOS, clear.